Hi everyone, we are Lucia, Enrique and Juanma, and you are listening to Radio La Vide. Today in our podcast, you are going to have a higher knowledge about Adriansville thanks to our innovation project of archaeology, the Imperial Hatchseeker itinerary. First of all, we'll be talking about the Palatian and its location. You will discover the uses of the ancient village and discover the relevance of this villa since the Roman Empire. We hope you like it.
What's up, everyone? I'm Enrique, and I'm going to talk about the name of the Palatium we have chosen and its location as his city and actual country, and where to reach from Rome since like all routes. So the Palatium we have chosen for this podcast is none other than Hadrian Villa, or Villa Adriana, located in Tivoli, known back in the day as Tibur. Villa Adriana is around 28 kilometers away from the city of Rome, capital of Italy. And it is specifically located in the Monte Tiburtini mountains with a maximum level of 795 meters above the sea level. Back in the day, there were like around two ways to reach the villa, through the Via Tiburtina Valeria, which initially communicated the main city, which is Rome, with Tibur. And it got expanded later until the Adriatic Sea, ending in the city that we know nowadays as Pescara. This road has become the Strada Statale 5 via Tiburtina Valeria nowadays, the other way to reach Villa Adriana was the Via Prenestina, which went initially from Rome to Gabi, which is an old city, called Via Gabbiana, and then got extended until Preneste. There was an extra way that included crossing the Anian River, as the villa was in a geographic position where water had a lot of value. As four of the ancient aqueducts, like Anio Vetus, Anio Novus, Aqua Marcia, and Aqua Claudia, were serving Rome and passing through the villa. Another interesting thing about this location is that it was surrounded by a lot of mines of different construction materials, such as limestone.
Hi, I'm Lucia, and I'm going to explain the investigation. As my co-worker has said, the villa was created in Tibur, the actual Tivoli, as a place of retirement from Rome by Emperor Adrian in the 2nd century after Christ. Adrian didn't like the place of Palatine here in Rome, which led him to build this place of retirement. Tivoli, where the villa is located, high up was the place chosen by the wealthy Roman to build their villa to take refuge from the sweltering summer heat of the imperial capital. However, these villas were no simple place for recreation and rest, but rather filled other no less important functions. The country villa was born as the heir of an agricultural estate. Over the time, it's become a leisure center that the Romans called Otium, with them the part of life which inhabitants didn't know work, the negotium, to take place. Influenced by the luxury place of the Hellenic East, and especially by the royal place of Ptolemaeus in Alexandria, the Romans villa and the suburb estates called Orti gradually incorporated the elements such as baths, dining room, gyms, libraries, and gardens. The gardens, fed to red sculptural and exotic plants, endowed with some artificial wildlife in the form of exotic animals, and the lavish decorate a varied number of their place far away in the fabled Orient. Tivoli was chosen by many of the beauty of landscape as well as for the fertility of the terrain lined out in the form of terraces and embankments. The aquatic element played a fundamental role in the design of the villas, either by the existence of a river in the place or by the construction of artificial channels. The ponds provide fish for the tables of its inhabitants. The aqueduct supplied water to the bath, and the fountains refreshed the environment and shared the spirit with murmur of water. These different aquatic elements are known: aqueduct, 12 large fountains, 30 individual fountains, 6 caves, 9 ponds and channels, 6 thermal complex, 10 cisterns, and 35 baths. Especially Adrian Villa belong to the relict charity of the Emperor Otium, to the Emperor Leisure, and the need to accommodate the court, which always went with him, had to be considered. we know that Adrian himself supervised the construction of the villa thanks to several copies that have come down to us of letters he sent from Tivoli around the year 125. According to recent calculations, it's believed that the total extension of the villa must have been around 120 hectares. That is twice the area of population as important as Pompeii or Ostia. In fact, in a sense, it was like a city with temple, bath, theatres and warehouse. Although, yes, without the chaos of the resident and administrative building of the big city. Ultimately, everything was designed strictly following the emperor's wishes. During the decline of the Roman Empire, the villa fell into disrepair and was left partly in ruins. In the 16th century, Cardinal Ippolito II moved a large part of the marble and statue for the villa to decorate his own residence, called Villa dell'Este, also located in Tivoli near Adrian Villa. Among the statues that were and were are a copy of Miro Discourse Tower, the Egg Museum of Cristina of Sweden, located in the Prado Museum in Madrid, and possibly the Diana of Versailles that we find in the Louvre Museum in Paris. Although to the date only half of the site has been excavated and we still have a lot to discover.
Hi, I'm Guapa. And I'm going to tell you about the occupational sequence. And literary sources tell us that Adriano, with an extremely versatile personality, especially loved architecture, to which he devoted himself personally. The characteristics of the plans of Adrian's villa differ from the architectural customs of the time and demonstrate this participation and competition beyond a doubt. The construction complex of about 120 hectares built on a family villa from the Republican era, and which is made up of a set of 30 buildings, is perfectly inserted in the territory in a studied program so that it has been defined by the geology's current life as a studied architectural landscape. The construction of the enormous complex, which began a year after the arrival in the principality, last more than 10 years, coinciding with the period in which the emperor was touring the different Roman provinces, from which the villa symbolically represent the varied and extensive Roman territory from which Adrian tenaciously sought unification. Thus, he based the project as a connoisseur and love of the Hellenistic traditions, or model places and monuments that have been impressive to him. The beginnings, which have been limited to the restoring and expansion of the prehistoric buildings, were immediately expanded with thermal facilities, the construction of a gymnasium and a room of official banquets, warehouses, porticos and a swimming pool on either a theater. It was built to as the place was acquiring its final monumental dimensions, which can be said to have complete only in 133. Adrian is believed to have disliked the palace on the Palatine Hill in Rome, leading to the construction of the retreat. It was traditionally that the Roman emperor had constructed a villa as a place to relax from everyday life. Previous emperors and Romans with wealth, such as Trajan, had also constructed villas. Many villas were also self-sustaining with small farms and didn't need to import food. During the later years of his reign, Adrian actually governed the empire from the villa. He started using the villa as his official residence. Therefore, a large court lived there permanently and large numbers of visitors and barricades would have to have been entertained and temporarily housed on site. The postal service keep it in contact with Rome's 29 kilometers away, where the various government departments were located. The emperor traveled frequently, and whenever he returned to Italy, Tiberius was his preferred residence, away from the heat and the bustle of Rome. The initial construction of the villa began a year after Hadrian's assumption of the Prodor. When he initiated the renovation of the existing structures into something magnificent, the monumental project was completed about 10 years later, when the villa became Hadrian's official residence. The villa is designed for both business and pleasure. The villa contained many rooms that could accommodate large gatherings. A large court lived there permanently, and many visitors and bureaucrats were entertained and temporarily housed on site. The servants lived in hidden rooms and moved around the site throughout a series of service tunnels, which allowed them to transport the gods from one area to another, well out of sight of the emperor. The vast residential complex was therefore almost away, teeming with people. Archaeologists have identified some 30 buildings, including palaces, thermal baths, a theater, libraries, living quarters for the elite, lodgings for servants, extensive gardens, and fountains. Because Hadrian wanted to surround himself with reminders of his travelings throughout the vast territories of the empire, many structures and features and decorated sculptures copied from the various places the emperor had visited. At the time of his study of the buildings, especially the brick stamps, allowed the reconstruction of the chronology of the Hadrian's buildings. Two phases of the constructions marked by the travels of Hadrian's have been identified. The first phase of constructions witnessed the great amounts of welding activity extended until after Christus 125, when Hadrian's returned from the first of his great journeys in Greece and the East. Hadrian resided at the villa in the summer of 125 and probably stayed there until he embarked on his second journey in 128. There's also evidence to show the shaking of the villa during excavations. The discovery of lime kilns on the site suggests it's used a quarry from extracting raw materials. Some of it was even used to build Christian basilicas and shrines in Rome. By the 16th century, many of the statues, various pieces of art, statues and other riches were removed under the orders of Cardinal Ippolito d'Este, like Lucia said, to decorate his Neavi Villa d'Este, also located in Tivoli. Archaeological excavation of the site have been sporadic for the past few centuries and continue to this day. In fact, from the first topographical survey of the property, dating to around 1560, to the present day, Hadrian's villa remains to be fully excavated. In the 18th century, ownership of the area passed to Count Fede, who had the famous Cypress tree plant and actively excavated looking for treasures for his collection, dispersed after his death. Since then, Hadrian's villa was plundered by the England aristocrats, who transferred the finding to England, and only at the end of the 19th century, when with the reunification of Italy, the state took over the ownership of the remains, is when archaeological excavation and restoration works begin that last until today. Since 2003, there has been a permanent program of interventions. For example, in the University of Pablo de la Vide has been working from that day. Previously in the so-called Greek Theater, since 2003 to 2013, and currently in the Imperial Palace from 2014, led by Dr. Raffaele Hidalgo Prieto. And for example, in Italy, in 2013, the discovery took place after the Plaza de Oro of a set of five monumental buildings of rare architectural elegance, decorated with colossal statues designed by Adriano to offer privileged tours, creating idyllic landscape backgrounds, the result of the long and complex excavation campaign carried out by La Sapienza University under the scientific direction of Patrizio Pensavenne, in close collaboration with the superintendents from archaeological assets of Lazio and the director of Hadrian's Villa, Benedetta Adembri.
After the explanation that has been just been mentioned by my mates, we're going to talk about the architecture of the buildings. First of all, we have to recognize that Villa Adriana mixes gardens, wild areas, cultives, pools, baths, and fountains with some characteristic buildings. The materials that were used to construct these buildings were Northern Darn travestine, brick, lime, pozzolana, and tufa. And they had a specific location considering the villa's plans. Anyways, most of the buildings had their own gardens, pools, and baths, as I mentioned before, which made them need a lot of water and make them used for aqueducts mentioned before as well, making the villa lower than the aqueducts in order to be able to use them. The name of this of some rooms inside the villa were given after significant places of the empire, such as the Lyceum or the Academy. The decoration of the villa didn't only include Roman structures, as it also had some influence from other cultures, such as the Egyptians, with a small Nike River that exists in this place, relating to the Nile. It also has some Greek figures that were seen in ancient Greece before being in the villa. The emperor wanted the villa to remind him of things that he has seen and give him a special meaning. So that's why we have, for example, the area called Canopus, which is named after the Egyptian city that has specific cultural programs, featuring copies of famous cultures of the ancient Egypt. We also have the Pesil, named after the Stoa Poikile from Athens, and it mixes some Greek traditional stuff with Roman touches, as it uses an Ionic order in a novel way. The Triclinium of the Piazza d'Oro, a building which I will talk about later, has some concrete domes that are believed to be built by Hadrian. Going back to the Pesil, we have to mention its huge garden with a center pool and an arcade. The pool is massive, being measured around 232 per 97 meters. And the columns of the pool were made to support the roof, and it originally included four walls to secure the place. We have to give a special mention here to the Antinoeion, which was discovered by scholar 25 years ago, which is another type of Egyptian tribute inside the villa. Villa Adriana has also some details similar to the Parthenon, also built by Hadrian, such as the dome of the steam bath that have circular holes on the apex to allow steam to escape. At last, we can mention the Maritime Theater, a round portico around 40 meters in diameter in total, with a pool inside that had a central island connected by two bridges made of wood, where we can find a small domus with the typical stuff, like triclinium, baths, a library, and an atrium. The entrance is made in the northern side of the building, and inside the walls there are a lot of unfluted Ionic columns. The building includes a lounge, a library, heated baths, three suites with heated floors, an art gallery, and a large fountain, and it seems like it was used as a relaxing place by the emperor and his guards. With all of this being said, we can say that Villa Adriana is a place with different styles of architecture and innovation adapted to the time.
Now we are going to explain the building we can find in the Villa Adriana. The villa has a lot of buildings, but we are going to explain the following buildings. Some have modern name and name it according to use.
I'm going to talk about the Piazza d'Oro. It is translated in English as the Golden Square, and it is a building located in the northern edge of the villa. It has a rectangular open court with a central fountain that divides the gardens. The name of this place comes from the artworks that were on its inside. The piazza was mainly used as an area for fests due to its luxury and the garden, decorated with fountains and estuaries. It is considered a very important part of the villa thanks to the imperial portraits it had. The piazza's plan shares a lot of similarities with Hadrian's Stoa of Athens, which was a library built by the imperial Hadrian in the same period of time. The piazza has different things depending on the side we're looking at. For example, in the southern side, there was a monumental exedra where there were some statues and fountains. The east side had a bunch of rooms, as well as a triclinium. The northern side was where the main entrance to the square was located, with a vault that had some arches. Another interesting thing about the Piazza d'Oro is that a subterranean road of around 4 kilometers goes under the plaza.
Now I'm going to display the circular temple of Venus. Around the landscape, full of mountains and trees, is the circular temple of Venus, a space made up of a series of Doric columns in a semicircular shape, which were recreated in the middle of the last century thanks to the fragments from Scatec throughout the land. These were the elements that gave shape to tholos around the temple dedicated to the goddess Venus. Thus, it can be seen how the architecture that predominates in the area is Greek, since both the tholos and the column of this style originate from ancient Greeks. in the middle of the circular composition, a copy of the original work of Praxiteles was kept. This work was called Venus of Cnido, and received such a name because the inhabitants of Cnidia were the ones who kept the original statue after it was rejected in the city of Cos, just like its creator. On the other hand, other sculptures we also recorded that are not currently in the named temple, but in various museums, such as the sculpture of Apollo of Discus Fowler.
Hi, I'm Juanma again, and I'm going to you to explain the Maritime Theatre. This building is called since the 700, and is one of the most famous and evocative buildings of the villa. The main entrance was turned to the north side, located in front of a green space near the liveries, garden, and joined with the inferior terrace. It is constituted by a central part with a round plant, preceded by a rectangular pronaos, of which the basis of the column remain only, and from which you came in the hall, embellished on every side by a rectangular niche, and finally through an actual entrance you reach the circular porch, supported by Ionic columns and covered by barrel vault. The colonnade is reflected in water of a channel that encircles an artificial island originally connected by two revolving good structures, while now is placed here a bridge in masonry attributable to the late ancient period. It's possible to observe marble furrows of the guides in which that's good bridge house for the sliding. The two revolving bridge staged near the entrance corridors, fauces situated externally of a curvilinear entrance resting on flute columns Ionic. On the island, the small inner space is optimally utilized, has been created a domus with a typical outline, with entrance hall, triclinium, that means the room for the lunch, cubicula, that are like bedrooms, latrina, and also small terms. In fact, it's a residence in miniature, theoretically inaccessible from outside, destined to the emperor's retreat and reflection. He loved to swim in the channel, gone throughout it more times. The building is example of for technical innovation, the continuous succession of its straits and coastlines, the particular height of the columns and travertines, the effect played by the light and the refraction in the channel of the light's architectonic elements create an absolutely particular spaces and scenic effects. The singularity of the structures is same conceptual value of island, the wealth and the curve from the tiles. Let's imagine the Adrian's direct participation to the plan of the pavilion.
Well, so after the explanation we have made, we wanted to mention that this is the end of our podcast. But I also wanted to talk a little bit about the bibliography and the webgraphy we have used so far. For the bibliography, we used books based on the Villa Adriana and some characteristics of it, such as the reconstruction or its legacy. We have used English books, and I also used an Italian book. And as for the webgraphy, we have used some kind of news and, of course, the typical websites you use to find information about all of this stuff. And, well, that's it. I hope you all enjoyed it. And see ya.